All right, let's get into the Word. Open up your Bibles. Let's look over here. We're going to go, first of all, to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 27. Okay? Now, in the Acts 27 here, very familiar story to us here at this church. It's where Paul has been put on a ship, and he advises them not to go. He's being taken to appear before Caesar. And they think it's going to be a good time to sail. And he tells them, sir, I perceive that this voyage is going, it's going to be with harm and danger and even loss of life and ship. And he's trying to get them not to. But the Bible says that the captain, the soldier believed the captain of the ship more than he believed Paul. And they get on. They think everything's going real good. And so we want to pick it up here in verse 13. It says, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempest wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and how to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for thou shalt be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and who I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Now, I'm going to stop reading there. We could read on about their ship and how it was torn up. All of them made it to the island on boards and whatever, and there was no loss of life. But what I want to show you here is Luke is writing this, and you can just, as we read down the scriptures, you could tell that each day Luke was a little more hopeless. You see, because they're going through this storm, and understand it's a hurricane that's going on, and it's dark, and they can't tell what's going on. They don't know where land's at. They have to put out the sails just because they're afraid they'll get crashed into land. And so they're throwing everything they can off to keep the ship from actually just sinking. They try to tie ropes around it to hold it up, and it won't hold up. So they finally get to the point where Luke says, all hope that we should be saved was lost. You see, you get in a storm sometimes, and I'm going to tell you, you'll think that you're hopeless. You'll think that you're helpless. You'll think that there's nothing that can be done. But understand something. Sometimes a storm in your life is there because God has a purpose, not that He brought the storm, but God has a purpose that He will bring about through that storm. There's no doubt in my mind that this was nothing other than the enemy attacking this ship to try to take Paul out. See, Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament or so. See, I think the enemy was trying to take him out. But the angel of the Lord came and appeared there and told Paul, he said, listen, you still got to do what God told you to do, so don't be afraid. Don't get fearful. Nobody's going to die. I'm going to give everybody here on this ship, I'm giving them because of you, Paul. So you've got to understand something. Sometimes you're going through a trial. Sometimes you're going through a storm, and that storm is for others. Did you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes what you're going through is something that you have to go through so it can help others. See, because what you have to understand about this is even though they were cast upon that island, God was using this whole situation here so that He could bring the gospel to that island. When you read on, you find out that all the natives there were friendly. They were kind, and they began to take care of Paul and them. And even though they watched Paul get snake bit, and he didn't die, they watched God move. They first thought he was man. This man's got to be a sinner. He's got to escape the shipwreck, and now he's been bit by a viper. But when he didn't die, they said, man, this guy must be a god. You see, God was showing them His power through Paul and company. We find out later on as you read on down how the chief there was sick. They went in and healed. Even though they had Luke the physician with them, it wasn't Luke the physician that attended to that chief. It was Paul the apostle that attended. Why? Because the power of God had to be released in that man's life so that he could be healed. And then after that, what happened? Everybody that was sick in that whole tribe came. Guess what? God healed them all. God healed them all. See, God was using all this to make provisions for Paul. Because we read on down, we find out they ended up finding a ship, getting on the ship, finally made it to Rome. See, understand this, church. You can go through things, but when you go through things, you have to be able to look, see, what's God going to get glory out of? What in this is God going to use for somebody else, maybe? Now, it may be sometimes that you need to know something, but here's the thing. Either way, you need to count it all joy. Did you hear me? You count it all. No matter what it is you're going through, because I'm going to tell you, in this life, you're going to go through some things. You can stand and declare your faith, and thank God we do. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. See, we got to understand, God wants you and I to be examples of believers. God wants you and I to show the world His power through us. God's not here. Jesus is not here. We're the body of Christ now, and God is operating through us. So the world has to see Him through us. They have to see how we behave, how we act, the things we do, to see what God's doing in our life. When they see that, they can see the goodness of God in us. Come on, church. See, we got to understand that. Most of the church acts like the world. Come on. We try to be like the world. We try to dress like the world. We try to do the things the world does. We try to even turn the church into the world. But I'm going to tell you something. We are a peculiar people. We're a chosen generation. We are not the world, and we shouldn't be like the world. We need to be different than the world so they can see that there is a difference. There's a difference, church, in us and the world. We know who our God is. We know who our Provider is. We know who our Savior is. So no matter what we're going through, we're going to count it all joy. We're going to lift up our hands. We're going to make sure we hold on, hold out to the end of the thing. Because God is always working out a good ending for you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans to prosper you and give you an expected end, He says. See, God's always got blessing in mind for you. Doesn't mean you don't go through some things and have to put up with some stuff and go through something. But us understand God on the end of the thing is going to bless you. So you've got to stay in there to the end. Come on now. You can't get discouraged. Luke said, we all hope that we'd be saved was lost. But then here comes Paul and says, well, relax, man. God's on our side. The angel of the Lord, he's been here. God knows where we're at. Matter of fact, you understand God knew exactly where that ship was at. And He knew exactly where that island was at. He knew exactly what was going to happen for it every day because He told Paul, you're going to lose the ship. Right? You're going to lose this ship, and you're going to be cast on a certain island, but I've given you every life. Even y'all that can't swim, that are afraid of water, grab a board. You're going to be all right. And they all made it alive to the island. That's the kind of God we serve. Now, jump over here with me to Psalms. Psalm chapter 137. I love these scriptures here because it paints a pretty picture of how the church gets sometimes and how we Christians get sometimes here. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof. If you don't know what raise means, it means destroy. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed? Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stone. What's going on? Well, you see, here are the children of Israel. They've been taken into captivity because of their disobedience. It's their fault they are where they're at. Anybody besides me ever put theirself in a place they shouldn't be? Caused theirself undue trouble because of disobedience. Both hands up. Come on now. You see, they were there because they disobeyed God, and God allowed them to be taken into captivity. Once they were taken in captivity, notice that they it says, we just hanged up our harps. I mean, you know, we used to have that saying around here all the time, I'm just hanging it up. We didn't know he was doing a biblical thing. He said, we just hanged up. In other words, we wouldn't play, we wouldn't sing, we were just so depressed and so down and out because we were in captivity. You know, God's forgotten all about us. And besides that, this bunch that's taken us captive, they expect us to sing to our God. They expect us to sing one of those songs of joy. How can we be joyous when we're in captivity? You see, you've got to understand something. They didn't know it at that time, but the time that you sing the loudest is when you're in captivity. The time that you sing and praise God the most is when you're going through something. Do you understand that? I mean, you know, anybody can praise Him in the good times. But it's when you're in those bad times, that's when you got to pray. Paul and Silas, when they were in that prison, all they knew is we could die in the morning. That's all. I mean, they've been beaten. They've been thrown into the inner prison. They've got stocks on them. They're tied up. And all they know is the next morning they're probably going to die. And what happens? At midnight. The Bible says they begin to pray and sing praises. Now, you could say, well, you know, they were just doing that, probably saying their last rites, thinking they're going to die in the morning. No! The Bible says that they sang loud enough to where the prisoners heard them. And not only did the prisoners hear them, God. Do you hear that, angels? Listen to that. The prison doors flew open. Their stocks fell off from them. The jailer woke up, and he thinks they're all gone. And he's scared because he knows he's going to die now. Paul said, don't be afraid. We're all still right here. And they began to share the gospel with him. And he took them home to his house and he shared it with his family. And he and his family were baptized and Paul and them were let go. You see, you've got to understand, when they were in the middle of a big trial, I won't say it's greatest. Paul had so many, it's hard to say what his greatest was. But this was a big one. And right in the middle of it, he began to pray and sing praises. What do you do in the middle of your trouble? Come on, do you complain and murmur and gripe? That's what most of the church does. I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know. After all, I'm a child of God. I shouldn't have to be going through this. You will go through things. I'm not telling you that it's right. I'm just telling you there's a real devil out there and he wants to come against you with everything he's got. And so you have to be on guard. You have to be watching. You have to be really willing to praise the Lord no matter what it is you're going through. So here they were at this point and they said, well, you know, they want us to sing a song. They expect us to sing songs and when look at us. We're in captivity. What do they think we are? Well, I'll tell you what they could have been, because later on God brought them all out of captivity. What they could have been there was a light to that whole bunch. What they could have done was showed them the power of God. I can't help but think maybe if they'd started praising, because immediately God says, I'm not going to forget about you. I'm going to make sure they pay. So just what might have happened if they'd have picked up those harps and said, you want to hear a good one? Let me tell you about this. This one's I called I Fly Away. Right? Come on. Yeah. You never can. God may have moved right then and let set them free. But instead, no, I just couldn't do it right now. I'm just so depressed and so down and so out. I don't even know where God's at. Listen, you can't quit no matter what you're going through. You can't quit. You can't give up. Over in Exodus, jump over here with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. And let's look at here what's going on. I'm going to read for you some and then we'll get into this thing. In Exodus chapter 14, It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before," however you say those words, okay? "But at the sea, over by the Red Sea," okay? "Go over before it, shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness have shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside there. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, ye shall not see them no more ever, forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Now notice this. Understand that it's God that told Moses to go over by the Red Sea. He told them where to go. Now they're over there, and here comes Pharaoh. They're cut off. God knew they would be cut off. You see, what you got to understand here is God's provision to deliver Israel was also God's plan to destroy the Egyptians. But here's what I want you to notice about this. Just as soon as they got over there and saw that they were trapped, now all of a sudden the children of Israel are like, "Well, wasn't there enough graves in Egypt? Wasn't there enough room to bury us all? Why would you bring us out here to let us die?" And the Bible says they begin to speak against Moses and against God. You see, here's the thing. You got to be careful that you don't speak against whoever it is God places over you. You got to notice the first thing they did is went against their leader. God told him to do it. And he was doing what God told him to do. Come on, see, that a lot of folks don't understand how much trouble they get into by trying to go against the leadership that God puts over them. A lot of folks don't like, you know, they say, "Well, you know, didn't we tell you, this is what we told you. We told you this and that. We told you. And Moses looks at him and says, "Stand still and see what God does. See the salvation of the Lord." You see, sometimes God tells the leader things that he doesn't tell the people. And sometimes God will direct the leader to do things that don't look right to the people. Did you hear me? God sometimes directs. I know for a fact, have you shown me things, and we've done them, and I know some of you just shake your head. I'm afraid pastor's missing it this time. Now, I'm not saying I can't miss it, but I'm going to tell you this. When I hear from God, I stick with it. And you got a choice. You can either hang with me or you can run if you want to. But I promise you, the only place to run is straight into the Egyptians. Because we're going to do what God says. We're going to go forward. We're not going backwards. We're not settling anywhere. God has got us moving forward, and we're going to stay on a forward direction. Because what God told him to do there, he said, "You tell the children, they go forward. Shut up. Keep on moving. You don't have time to complain. You got somewhere to go. "Stretch out your hand, Moses." And he stretched out his hand with his staff. And the wind began to blow and began to part the waters. And the Bible says that they moved forward across the Red Sea. And when the Egyptians saw that the Israelites could do it, Pharaoh thought he could do it too. The difference is, one was led by God and one was about to be destroyed by God. As the Israelites went across on dry ground, Pharaoh began with his chariots to chase after them. He's on dry ground too for a while. And then God goes, and they're all gone. You see, that's the kind of God we serve. Just because you can't see the way does not mean God doesn't have a way. I'm sure they were sitting there looking at the Red Sea, and then they'd turn back and look at the armies. See, we could read the whole story and tell you while they're sitting there and the wind's blowing to part the sea, God's back here with lightning bolts going, better than the mother of all bombs. Just blowing them up back there. You know, God's fighting for them, but He lets them come on through because He wants to use that same provision, that Red Sea, that dry ground that delivered the Israelites. Destroyed Pharaoh. See, you've got to understand something. God will use your thing that you come against to destroy those that come against you. You just have to stay with it. You can't quit. You can't back up. You can't try to go the other direction. You've got to keep going the direction God tells you to, because that's the direction that God has deliverance for you. You can't make it up for yourself. You've got to allow Him to do it, because God has a plan. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. So God is moving us and He's moving us forward. And so we can't be like them. We can't just stop and complain and murmur. Oh, well, you know, I should have done this. I wish I'd have done that. We should have never done this. And we should have never done. No. What did God tell you to do? And if God told you to do it, you just keep on doing it till you see manifestation happen. You stand on the Word till it happens. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes God delivers you through things, and that's what we've been talking about. There are other times that He does deliver you from things. I like it when God delivers me from things, because you don't have to go through a thing. But here's the thing. Going through a thing will probably strengthen your faith more than being delivered from a thing. Did you hear what I said? Because, see, when you go through a thing, that means you get hardened. You know, James tells us, you know, count it all joy, you know, when you go through divers tribulations, because it's going to cause you to have more patience. And your patience is going to make you complete and wanting nothing. It's going to increase your faith. And so when you go through things, it sharpens you. It makes, you know, the only way you get a knife sharp, you pull it through that sharpener. That's what gets it sharp. Well, you know what that sharpener does, don't you? It's shaving off the dull and making a sharp blade on that. You know, if you just keep cutting meat and potatoes and whatever it is you're cutting, those things don't sharpen the knife. They dull the knife. You see, if everything's meat and potatoes for you, you're going to get dull. But if God begins to take you through some things, then He's going to sharpen you. And He's going to make you to where you're ready for the next thing that comes along. See, understand that every test and trial you go through there should make you stronger to face the next one, because it ain't over yet. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't over yet. There's still a real devil out there. And as long as we're living on this earth, we're going to have to deal with him till Jesus comes and gets us. Come on now. But it doesn't matter. I'm still not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep right on pushing on, because I have the greater one living on the inside of me. You have the greater one living on the inside of you. Over in 2 Kings, we have the story in 2 Kings 19, chapter verses 1 through 37. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to kind of talk about it. But the king of Assyria here, he's come up against, and he's just defeating nation after nation after nation. His name is Sennacherib. And so he's got this great army, and he's just defeating nation after nation. And he sends down a guy, Rabaksha. And he sends him down there to start mouthing off to the children of Israel. And he comes down, and he begins to talk, and he starts talking to them in their native language. telling them how, oh, you better not be trusting in this God that Hezekiah's trusting in. You think He's going to deliver you? Look at all the nations we've already defeated. This will be the same with you. You guys got a choice right now. You can become our servants, or we're going to come down here and we're going to waste you. We're going to destroy you all. And he's mouthing and talking about God. And it gets back then to Hezekiah, and they bring it to him. And he has them to write down everything that's been said. And he takes those papers where that guy's bad-mouthing God and bad-mouthing the children of Israel. And the Bible says he takes them and lays them on the altar. I'm going to tell you something, church. There ain't no better place to be when things are coming against you than the altar. The church doesn't use the altar enough. The altar was made for the church. Come on now. He lays them down at the altar and he says, God, I want you to look at this. Look what they're saying. And God is the truth. They've been taking over everybody. They've been overcoming every nation. The things He said about what they've done, it's all true. But I'm laying this out before you, God, because we trust in you. And the prophet begins to speak to him what God says. And God says, don't even be worried about that guy. He going to die back in his homeland. And as far as the king coming down, he going to turn around and go back the same way he came. And you won't have to worry about it. There's not going to be no arrow shot. There ain't nothing going on. You just, I got this. Don't you love it when God says, I got this? And the Bible says that night, as Sennacherib brought his whole army down, that night, the angel of the Lord came through their camp and left 184,000 dead. When they got up the next morning, dead bodies everywhere. You know what they did? They got up and went home. Come on, see, you got to understand, when God fights the battle for you, you can just sit back and just take a breath. All is well. All is good. Don't allow the enemy to mess with your mind. See, because the mind is where he works on you at. Anybody besides me ever get something on your mind and you're laying there at night and you're flopping and you can't get it off your mind. You can't go to sleep and you're worried. You know all that is? That's a waste of time. That's a waste of good sleep because your worry won't change it no way. You trying to figure out what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? That ain't going to fix it no way. You'd be better spent if you can't sleep, just get up. And I'm talking to me too. As you get up, find me an altar. And just get before God and say, God, I'm just going to pray. If this is going to come at me like this, I'd be better off praying. And if I'm praying, then I can't be worrying. You can't pray and worry at the same time. I'm going to declare the word of the Lord over this situation. And Father, I put it in your hands. And I know when I get to the end of the thing, everything's going to be all right. You see, you got to carry it out, church. They had to carry this thing out to the end. They didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know what God was going to do. But God fought the battle for him with the death angel. Think about that one for a minute. Wonder how many times God has fought a battle for you and you didn't even know it. How many times has He been there for us and we didn't have a clue? I believe many, 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 many times. I believe God is always there working for us, and there's times that we just don't even acknowledge it, but we should. When we look around and see what God has brought us from and where He's brought us to. Come on, think about it for a minute. Look what God has done for you. Look what God has done for your family. And y'all just lift up your hands and praise God because, man, I'm going to tell you, He's brought you through a whole lot of things. Hallelujah. And He's still doing it. He's not done yet. Your story's not over with. It's not over just because it looks bad. That don't mean it's over. Think about this one for a minute, okay? I won't keep you too much longer, but I just want you to think of this one now. You talk about looking bad. Jesus has been taken. And here He comes, dragging that cross through the street. And they take Him up on that hill, Golgotha. And up there, they nail Him to that cross. And the Bible says He hanged there. And at one point, He calls out. And He gives up the ghost. And the centurion that's there said, "Surely, this was the Son of God." And the Marys are there. And the disciples are there. And they all see Jesus die on the cross. How many knows that's bad? That's bad when you're expecting this man to be your deliverer. That's bad. And Joseph of Arimathea goes and he begs for the body of Jesus. And they take Jesus and the women are with him. And they lay the body of Jesus in the sepulcher. How many knows we're getting real final now? We've put him in the grave and it's before the Sabbath and they're going to wait and they're going to spice his body because it's Sabbath. They can't. They're going to come. And the Bible says then, early the next morning, they come in and they've got the spices and they're going to anoint his body and prepare it, you know, for its final resting place. And when they get there, guess what? They can't find the body. And all of a sudden, there's this angel said, "Whom seek you?" They said, "Well, we're looking for the body of Jesus." They said, "He's not here. He's risen." Hallelujah. You see, you've got to understand something. What looked like a bad situation was just another part of God bringing His plan to pass. You see, you have to understand that God's plan all along was for Jesus to have to die. Jesus knew the plan. Jesus knew He would have to die. He knew He would have to go to the cross. That's why He prayed in the garden, "If there's any other way, let it pass from me. But not my will, your will be done." Jesus knew the plan. He even told the disciples. But they just couldn't grasp hold of the fact that on the third day, I'll rise again. You see, God's plan was to deliver His people through the Lord Jesus Christ. But that meant the Lord Jesus Christ having to go through the cross so that you and I could have our sins forgiven. Because on the cross, Jesus bare our sins. By His stripes, we were healed. It's not the end of the story there. Because Jesus has to go pay the price for you and I. But He came and He rose from the grave. Out of hell, He rose with the keys of death and hell. And because He did that, He said, "Now, I have the keys of death and hell." And He says, "Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just go over there in the upper room. I want you to tarry and wait until you receive the promise of the Father." And they watched Him ascend and go into heaven. Looks like it's the end again, but guess what? It's not. It's the beginning again. Because Jesus said, "It's expedient for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter can't come." Because while they were in the upper room, they no longer had Jesus with them in presence. But Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to live in them. You see, our story's not over. Because the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of us. It's not the end of the story. Anybody ever watch a movie and miss the end of it? You're watching a movie and you're thinking, "Man, this is a good movie." And something happens and you don't get to watch the end of it. Man, I hate that. Don't you? I mean, you know. How about this? You're watching a ball game. I thought I might get you with some sports. You got a ball game going. Okay? Your team is losing so bad that I ain't sitting here watching this. Next day, wow, biggest comeback in history. They won. They won. You missed it. You know why? Because you didn't stick with it till the end. Come on, church. You don't want to miss what God's getting ready to do. I'm telling you, we're coming to the climax of this story. We're coming to the place where the power of God is going to start doing things that, and we're going to look and we're going to go, "Wow. I know the Bible says it, but now God, you're blowing my mind." Now, God, you're doing things that we've been asking you for, and really, we're kind of like those that were praying for Peter. Remember when Peter was gone, and they were all gathered up there, and they were praying for Peter's release? He was in prison, and the angel of the Lord came into the prison, opened up took off his bonds, opened up the doors, walked him out the gate, and turned him loose, and he made it back to his own company, and he's knocking on the gate, and they're in there praying for him to be released, and the little girl goes out there and comes back and says, "It's Peter! It's Peter! It's Peter!" And they say, "Oh, it's not Peter. That's somebody else. Yeah, it's not Peter." "Yes, I'm telling you, it's Peter." Man, their prayers were strong, weren't they? Think about it. They're in there praying for him to be released. She says he's out there, and they say, "Nah, he's not." Right? I think sometimes that's the church. "Lord, we believe in you for signs and wonders and miracles." "I ain't going to do none." "Yes, he is. I promise you he is. But we've got to stick it out to the end of the story." I'm telling you, church, you're living in historical times, both in the natural and in the supernatural. It's times like it's never been. God is moving in a way that you and I cannot in any way, shape, form, or fashion back down, back up, or quit. Because God has got too much in store for us. You're getting ready to watch this church grow. Did you hear me? No matter what the enemy has tried to do, you're getting ready to watch new people walk in that door. I'm telling you that right now by the Spirit of the Lord. You're going to see things happen because what the enemy tried to do is foiled. Did you hear me? What the enemy tried to do is foiled, and God is going to restore back to where we were at and above that, and you're going to see God moving in such a mighty way. And it's not going to be because of us. It's going to be because of the Spirit of the Lord and Him moving and doing things. You're going to see it start taking place. So you better get ready. You better get ready because there are going to be folks coming in here that's hungry for the Lord and hungry to take your place. Hungry to do something for the Lord. Hungry to do something for the church. Hungry to be a servant of God. And I'm talking about a servant of God. Not you. Think about those Israelites. We've been better off to be servants to the Egyptians. They weren't servants to the Egyptians. They were slaves. Acting like they've been better off. No. Listen. We're servants of the Most High. And to be servants of the Most High means I can lift up my hands and praise Him. And I can depend on Him because He's got my back. No matter what I'm going through, God has already wrote the end of the story, and it's good. Did you hear me? God knows the beginning of the book and the end of the book. You and I are still kind of walking in the middle of it. But He says, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer, because I'm making you stronger with every test, with every trial that you have to go through. Every time the enemy attacks you, I'm going to make you a little stronger. Make you a little better. Kind of remind me, I'm going to tell my age a little bit here, of the $6 million man. Y'all remember? How many remember the $6 million man? I'll see if this is old folks. You young folks don't remember it much. But when he came on, he said, we can make him stronger. We can make him better. He was the bionic man. You know, they put those bionic parts. He could run and jump and leap and all that. They made him better. Right? God's making you better. Except he's making you spiritually strong. You don't need bionics when you got the Holy Ghost. Come on now. When you got the Holy Ghost, you got it all. Hallelujah. So here's what we got to do. Got to stick this thing out, church. Stick it out to the end. Don't get mad at me if I take you some places and you're not sure if that's where you ought to go. Because I'm listening to what the God says. And God's moving us some. Okay? And you got to be ready. Let's just follow God and let's watch what God does. Now, you know, we've had people already jump ship. Right? You know it's true. We've had people jump ship because the enemy came at us. And rather than trust God and what God would do, they just jump ship. Come on now. See, don't get quiet on me. It's true. I'm telling you that God rewards faithfulness and God rewards those that stick it out. Those that stay to the end. You watch what God does. Some of you have been talked about like dog. I've been talked about like a dog. But you know what? Turn it around. God turning it around. You'll see what God does. You watch what God does. Hallelujah. So stake it out. Stay to the end of the story. And we're going to be living this thing out. And you're going to be able to lift up your hands and say, Pastor said so. Why? Because God said so. Amen? Praise God. Come on, stand to your feet with me. I got some more, but I'm just going to quit right there. God wants you to stick it out. Don't quit.